Om Kataksha Kiranachanta Naman Mohabdiye Namaha Kataksha Kiranachanta Naman Mohabdiye Namaha Anantananda Krishnaya Jagan Mangala Murtiye Anantananda Krishnaya Jagan Mangala Murtiye Ahamasmi Sada Bhami Kadachinaham Apriyaha Ahamasmi Sada Bhami Kadachinaham Apriyaha Brahmaivahamatas Siddham Satchidananda Lakshanam Brahmaivahamatas Siddham Satchidananda Lakshanam Mayevo Deti Chidvyomni Jagad Gandharva Patanam Mayevo Deti Chidvyomni Jagad Gandharva Patanam Atohan Nakatam Brahma Sarvagnam Sarvakaranam Atohan Nakatam Brahma Sarvagnam Sarvakaranam Naswatef Pratyabhijnanat Naswatef Pratyabhijnanat Niramshatvan Nachanyataha Niramshatvan Nachanyataha Natashriya Vinashanme Nachashriya Vinashanme Vinashasyad Nashriyat Vinashasyad Nashriyat. Okay. Sandhi for this one. This is the one we're on. Okay. Na swataha pratyabhijnanat niramshatvat na cha anyataha na cha ashriya vinashat me vinashaha syat anashrayat. Did I get it? Get the sandhi? Okay. Translation. If you go to the second line, do you see where in the middle of the second line it says, me vinashaha? So let's take it, because it's going to be repeating. You see how the nas repeat, repeating everywhere? Mm-hmm. Naswataha pratyabhijnanat me vinashaha. Then niramshat twat na me vinashaha. And then anyataha cha. Not, anyway, it goes through three different things. Pratyabhijnanat, niramshatvat, anyataha, nacha, ashriya vinashanme, vinashaha, syat, anashriyat. So what you have here, you have a bunch of ablatives, and you have your basic sentence, me vinashaha. Na, your basic sentence is na me vinashaha. There is no destruction for me. Okay? So the best, so me vinashaha, for me there's no destruction. Okay. Now let's look at this. So na swataha me vinashaha. Na swataha, from myself. I can, that is, I can't destroy myself. There is no destruction for me by means of myself, from myself. I can't destroy myself. Okay, so for me there's no destruction from myself, swataha. Everybody say, me vinashaha, for me, vinashaha na. There's no destruction for me from myself, swataha. Okay.
What does that mean?
Well, I'll explain it, but I want you to hear it first.
Okay.
If the let me just give you the basics here. The idea is this. The self, yourself, can't be destroyed by yourself. You can't destroy yourself. The Atma can't be destroyed. Myself, my Atma, can't be destroyed by me. You know, so the self is you are incapable of destroying the self. Another is incapable of destroying the self. By the destruction of an adhara, by an ashriya, something that the self depends on, and by destroying that, that can't destroy the self. So we're going to be looking at three different ways that the self could be destroyed, but can't, right? So the first one thing I'd say is, I can't destroy myself. Why? Then you've got these ablatives. So for the first one, we have this. Na swataha, which is that taha ending, is an indeclinable ending, and it means from. So na swataha pratibhijnanat, fifth case. So we've got na, indeclinable, fifth case by this indeclinable ending that gives the sense of the fifth case, and then pratibhijnanat, the fifth case from pratibhijna, just like ramat. All right, so indeclinable na, swataha, fifth case, pratibhijnanat, fifth case. And then if you go down to me nashaha, me is the genitive of me. Vinashaha is nominative singular. So there's no destruction for me because of the na. You know, there's no destruction of me from myself. I can't destroy myself. Why? Pratyabhijnanat. Because of what we call pratyabhijna. I'm going to do... Pratyabhijna means a continual memory, but I'm gonna unfold that, but I want to get the sentence first. So we'll just keep pratyabhijna as itself, okay? I can't destroy myself. There is no destruction of me from myself, by means of myself, because of pratyabhijna, which we have to... pratyabhijnana. We have to unfold that. Then it says, niramshatvat nacha anyataha me vinashaha. The cha and me vinashaha. There is no destruction for me. Cha anyataha. Do you see that taha ending? From another. Fifth case. Why? Niramshatvat. Because of being free from parts. Niramshatvat. That twat because of being, niramsha twat, because of being free from parts, na, not, cha, and, anyataha, from another. Anya means another. Taha gives that sense of the fifth case. So, and because of being free of parts, nir is a upasarga, preposition that means without or free from, amsha or parts, amsha is parts. Niramshat twat, twat, because of being, fifth case. And the twa is the being, right? So because of being partless, free from any parts, nacha anyataha, me vinashaha. There is no destruction of me from another, by means of another, because of being free from parts, because I am free from parts. Okay, so that's the second one. Then, nacha and... So this is the third one. Ashriya vinashan. From the destruction, vinasha, vinashat, from the destruction of an ashriya. Ashriya is the locus or that which something depends upon. Right? So if something depends upon something else, if I destroy that thing which it depends on, the ashriya, the thing that supports it or holds it, you know, if I destroy that, then I destroy I'll destroy the thing. So it says, from nacha and not, me vinasha, and there is no destruction of me from the destruction of an ashriya, the thing which that thing depends upon. Why? Syat means is, definitely not, na syat. So, an ashriya. Because for me, there is no ashriya. An ashriya. Because of having no ashriya means the atma doesn't depend upon anything else. So there's no ashriya to destroy for me. Because I'm an ashriya. That's the negative. I'm without any ashriya. I have no ashriya. Fifth case. Because of having no ashriya, from the destruction of an ashriya, there is no vinasha for me.
And ashriya is something depends on.
Yes. The ashriya... like the ashriya can even be an example they use in the Bhashya, which is a little bit removed, but nevertheless, the body depends upon food. If you take away the food from the body will die because it's depending on food. Usually when they use ashriya, it would be like this table, you know, supports this cup, right? If I get rid of the table, the cup will fall, right? But here we're using ashriya also just as that which supports. If you get rid of the supporting element, the thing because of which this can exist, then you destroy it. You're not destroying it itself, but you're removing what it depends upon for its being. So now, if the self were depending on something for its being, if I remove that thing, if I kill, if I destroy that thing, I'll destroy the self, right? Because I'm destroying what the self depends upon. So if I were to remove food from you, remove water from you, remove air from you, the body would die, even though I'm not doing anything to destroy the body. I'm just destroying what it depends on. You know? Clear? Mm-hmm. So there's three things here. So if we look at now, just word by word, not from the self, from myself, because of pratyabhijna, then niramshitvat, because of being without parts, not, na, cha, and, anyataha, from another, na, not, cha, and, ashriya vinashat, from the destruction of the ashriya, of what it depends upon, something it depends upon, me, for me, of me, genitive, right, genitive singular, vinashaha, destruction, the destruction of me, syat, is. Now, look at all the no's. So, is not, there is no destruction for me. Syat means is in the potential third person singular. Anashriyat, because of, you know, having no ashriya. See the meanings? So now, there are three logics which we have to look at here. The first logic that has to be understood is there can be no destruction for me from myself. I can't destroy myself, right? Why? Because pratyabhijñāna. The pratyabhijñāna is, in any given experience, I have a recollection of that experience. So it's the recollection, pratyabhijñāna is the recollection of an experience. And so now they use the example like this. I was young. I remember I was young. There is a recollection of me when I was young. Okay, I have a pratyabhijna, there's a pratyabhijñāna of myself when I was young. The youngness has gone, but the pratyabhijñāna is there. The recollection of me is there. When I was a teenager, I recall, I was there when I was a teenager. I was there when I was a young person. On and on and on. I was there. There's a continual pratyabhijñāna recollection of my presence in the presence and then in the absence of all of these states of experience. So you can go through the states of experience in terms of your physical body. I recollect that I was sick. Now I am well. The sickness is gone, I'm still there. The pratyabhijñāna is the continuation. Now, what the point is, the continuation of myself, you know, and being recollected in all of these experiences which are now gone. Okay? So there's no wavering of the recollection of my being in spite of all of these different conditions coming and going. So now you can do that pratyabhijñāna in reference to the waking, dream, and deep sleep also. You know, when I was there when I had this dream, I recollect that I had this dream. The dream's no longer there. No points of identification in the dream are there, but I was there, right? So now the thing is, in all of your experience, in all of your recollections of what has come and gone, what remains as the constant in the recollection is only your being, right? I was there when, I was there when, I was there when, I was there when. All of these things have passed on. but the pratibhijnana for my own presence remains. Do you understand? So the you could say the recollection of the self, the continuing recollection of the self in regards to any experience that has come and gone. Right? And so therefore, there's nothing I can do to destroy myself, because in the midst of all destruction, I remain. Right? I am there before, during, and after the destruction, so that there's nothing I can do to destroy myself, even though there's an infinite amount of destruction, limitless destruction, that I can do to the body, to the mind, to the sense organs, and to the world. But in doing that destruction, the destruction takes place, but the pratibhijnana of myself remains. That's the idea. You get it?
So it's just referring to the continual presence of the self.
It does, but it's the continual presence of the self that no matter what you do and what comes and goes, the pratibhijnana of yourself remains. The recollection of yourself remains. It's a technical term, but I want to see how other ways that they define it just in the dictionary. But it's a... Huh? Yeah, I've actually had it for a long time, but now I've crossed over.
Is that true when you die also?
Yes, it is. It is, because the self is, doesn't have anything to do with death, so there's no... You can even say for the jiva, you know, when this physical body drops and you have the sukshma sharira, you still are, right? You still are, and so... They even say, this is a little beside the point perhaps, but when you are traveling from birth to birth and the different lokas that you experience, you actually remember, once you're without this physical body, you have a recollection of your life on a much longer time scale. So this just becomes one, this life becomes one of your many experiences.
But one a jiva and mukta wouldn't have that recollection, right?
The jiva and mukta won't
have the mind anymore.
They won't have the mind anymore. They'd be Ishwara.
Hard to sort of figure that.
Well, I can go on about that, but let me look up this first. I want to see something here.
Can we open that door behind you? All the doors are open.
Pratibhijnanam, pratibhijnanam, recognition. Recognition's a good...
So is that like... No. Yeah. I was thinking of abhimana, but that's a completely different word.
Yeah.
Is there a way to break down that word, prati?
Pratibhijnana.
And prati would mean...
Prati is like...
Towards, right?
Can mean towards... It also means, I don't know what it means in this sense.
In abhijna.
Abhijnana. Abhijnana.
In Hindi, now. Isn't there that word abhi that means
now?
It means now.
Is that long?
That's different, long, though.
Different word.
This is a short.
A big gnana they just have as recognition too.
Or say you have like abhishekam or the abhi, does it mean anything?
Abhi means a lot of different things, so, but here it has it for a big gnana, we say pratyabhijnanam. But abhijnanam also means recognition. This is interesting. It says abhijnanam is a combination of anubhava. Mm-hmm. Anubhava means experience, right? Mm-hmm. Or direct perception. They're taking anubhava as direct perception, which is like experience. You're actually experiencing. So direct experience, anubhava. And smriti, recollection, a sort of direct perception assisted by the memory, as when we say, this is the same man I saw yesterday, right? So yam hyaha drishtaha nataha. This is the man that I saw yesterday. Anubhava, or direct perception, leading to the identification expressed by this, and the memory leading to the reference to the past action by saha. That's really good. So if I say, I, the one who am here today, am the one who was here yesterday. Right? This is a really, really nice, actually. You get it? So I, this same self that was here yesterday, is the one who is here today. This one who is here now is the one who had the dream. But the experience is a recollection. The prior experience is a recollection. But I'm the one who had it. That's the abhijnana or pratyabhijnana is what we usually say. So nasvataha pratyabhijnanat me vinashaha. There's no destruction of me by myself because of pratyabhijnana. Like even if any injury that takes place to me or any change that takes place to any modification, any state of experience, those all go and those can be destroyed. But I remain, and I have a pratyabhijnana of that, right? I'm the one who had that experience. Clear?
So there's no growth with those experiences. I mean, you don't grow I.
The I doesn't grow. The I is changeless, right? If we say the self is changeless, that's the whole thing. If the self is growing, then there's no end to it. Mm-hmm. If the self can grow, it can also decay. The self, you know, can become better, it can also become worse. So for the Atma, there is no change at all. You know, so that's, if there were change, then I can destroy myself. I can destroy the prior condition. If the word destroy indicates change. Say if you say, you know, my mind is like this, I don't like it. I want to change it so it will be like this. So I'm going to destroy those tendencies that cause me pain. I'm going to modify those. I'm going to change those. So I change them. I destroy them. I get rid of them. So destroy is a harsh word, right? But it means I change it. I get rid of it. I remove it. So I remove it. Yes, I've removed that condition from the mind. Mm-hmm. Now what will I say? I used to have that condition. I used to be like that. I used to react like that. I used to think like that. Now I'm free of that. So the one who had these conditions now is free of those conditions, right? But I was the one there for those conditions. Now I am the one there who is without those conditions. So even though I can go on changing, destroying, modifying my experiences, there's one experience, the self-experience, you know, that which is self-evident, the me that's self-evident, that I can't do anything about. I always remain as I go on modifying and changing, destroying experiences. That's the pratyabhijnana. Pratyabhijnana. Okay? So that's that logic. Nasvatah pratyabhijnanat me nashaha syat. Okay? Let's look at the next one. So I can't destroy myself because whatever I destroy, then I'm still there.
That's fine.
Then nida no, we're on part two. There's three parts to this. Then nidam shetwat nacha anyataha me vinashaha syat. And there's no destruction of me. Me vinashaha nasyat. There's no destruction of me anyataha from another. Why? Niram shatwat, because of being without parts, because of having no parts. So niram shatwat, just going word for word, because of being free of parts, because of having no parts, not cha and anyataha from another, may vinashaha, for me the destruction, syat is not, right? There's no destruction of me from another. Another person, something else, can't destroy me. Why? Because I have no parts. Right?
Does that mean there is no other? There's no destruction of me from another because I have no parts, and so there is no other there.
There is, that, but yes, that's true. That's not exactly what they mean, but I'll get into what they mean. On one level, that's true, because then you have to get into satyam and mitya. But they even use the example for this. It's like, for instance, in the creation, space can't be destroyed. Space has no parts. It's all pervasive. It's the most subtle. This is just within the creation. Space itself is all pervasive, right? And it's the most subtle. So things move in space. Like if I take a jar and move it from A to B, from this place to this place, space doesn't move. It moves through space. If I take, this is Bhagavad Gita, there's a verse, if I take a sword and try to slash through the space, it can't, because space is more subtle. It has no parts. Okay? If I try to burn it, the fire takes place in the space. If I try to wet it, you know, the water moves through the space but doesn't touch the space. So there's that, in that sense. The space has no parts, and so nothing can touch it. So here, the Atma, right, is more subtle than space. Now, there's space exists in the self. I'm aware of space. Mm-hmm. So there's nothing within the creation that can touch the self. Okay, so we can get into Satya Mitya too, but let's do this example first. If I try to, say I try to cut the self, I try to burn the self, right? These are all others. I try to shoot the self, right? Just like if I were tried to shoot space, right? The bullet goes through space. It has no parts. There's no way to divide it, and it's more subtle. Now, so that's one. That's one level. Another level, if you take it as the Satya Mitya, it's like, how can the waves attack the water? Right? Because there's nothing there but water. Right? How can even, and there's a verse that says, even Ishwara can't harm the self. Because Ishwara is nothing but the self. The self has no parts. Has no parts for the number, it can't be objectified. If it had parts, it would exist within Maya. Right? So the self can't be objectified. It has no parts, because if it had parts, it has to exist within duality. And so nothing can touch it. Also being the most subtle, right? And being pervasive to everything. Everything is made of it. So you can say, you can go in this direction too. The sword itself is what? If I'm going to cut, the sword itself is the self. Right? The sword is the self. The self has no parts. Satya Mityana. The fire is the self, right? The air is that we've taught the air can't dry it. The sword can't cut it. The fire can't burn it, right? There's one thing is that it's all pervasive. It has no parts and it's non-objectifiable. Then even now, if we look at the Satya Mitya, the fire, what is the fire? Is the Atma. What is the wind? It is the Atma, you know. What is the weapon? It is the Atma. What is the bullet? It is the Atma. What is the other? It is the Atma. There is no other. The Atma is both the subject and the object. And so there's no second thing. So now we're looking at, because there is no second thing. Right? So that's when, for that argument, we're usually saying there is no second thing. The subject is the Atma.
So there's no fire in Atma. There's no sword. There's no space in Atma either, right?
No, that's one way of looking at it. It's just like if you look at the whole dream comes from you, right? And within the relative reality of the dream, one thing can impact another, right? Like water can put out fire. Right? It's just space that is that example that is closest to the Atma because it is most subtle. It's all pervasive and most subtle. Fire is not all pervasive. Water is not all pervasive. Wind is not all. Air is all pervasive, in a sense. Not really. Not as much as space. You know? But when they're not all pervasive, they can act upon each other. But when everything exists within space and space is all pervasive, then nothing can really touch it. Right? Because everything is already in it. Right? And it's more subtle. But then that whole manifest creation, which can act upon itself because there's other, there's this one and that one, this thing and that thing, there's division. One thing can impact another. But what about when there's no division? Then there's no impact. Right? So but here, if we look at it, in terms of the dream, in the dream you can see one thing impacting another. But how can the dream, the mitya, the dream reality, impact the self, right? Which is that which from which the dream has come, is sustained and resolves into, and which is the very self of everything in there. So you can look at it that way too. In truth, the mitya knife, the mitya sword, is the Atma, right? The mitya wind is the Atma. The mitya fire is the Atma. So we go in to find there's nothing here that is not the Atma. And so there's no way the Atma can destroy the Atma because it's only one thing. There is no other. That's a satyam mitya, right? And another way, the self itself can't be objectified, so it's one without, it's one. It can't affect itself, and no other can affect it, so there is no other to affect it. Okay. So you can use the space analogy, that nothing can touch the space, or you can use the satyam mitya, where there's no other thing there to affect it. Okay, so that's pratyabhijñānāt niramshatvāt nacha anyatah. Now, nacha āśraya vināśāt, from the destruction of the āśraya, of that upon which something depends is the āśraya, me vināśah syāt, there is no destruction. Why? Because anāśrayāt. Because I have no āśraya. You can say in the creation, I think it's kind of an endless chain of cause and effect. This depends upon this, depends upon this, depends upon this for its being. But what does the Atma depend on? What could the āśraya of Satchit, limitless Satchit consciousness depend upon? Is there something behind it? Is there something feeding it? Is there something which it depends upon? You say no. There's no second thing there. There's nothing holding the Atma. There's nothing feeding the Atma. There's nothing that the Atma requires in order to be. Right? So when there's no second thing, there's no āśraya for it to depend on. And so I can't, anything that I destroy is going, in fact, going to be within Maya. And the Atma itself is its own support. It is its own being. There's nothing which it is resting on. You can think, again, the dream analogy is helpful. Is the dream an āśraya, the dream universe, right? Is there anything within the dream universe that the self from which the dream has come depends upon for its being? So if you use that example, is there anything within the dream creation, including the whole dream creation itself, which the Atma depends upon for its being? And so no, the Atma is the āśraya for it, for the dream creation, because if you were to remove the Atma, the dream creation would go. It's the same with the creation. If you look at this as Ishwara as the Maya Upadhi, if you were to remove the self, the Maya Upadhi would not be there. If I remove the snake, the rope isn't going to be there. But is there anything in the creation, or if you use your own example, within the dream, that the Atma depends upon for its being? We'd say no. Dream comes from, is sustained by, and resolves into the Atma. The Atma has no need. It's not dependent on its presence or its absence. So it doesn't provide any type of āśraya for the self. Otherwise, we could get rid of the dream, and then the self would be affected. Right? But we get rid of the dream all the time and nothing happens to the self. It's not an āśraya. But like that, can this entire creation be an āśraya for the self, the Maya Upadhi? So just like the dream, this is something to contemplate upon, because just like the coming and going of the dream has no effect on me, the presence or absence, the manifestation or unmanifestation of the creation has no effect on me at all, because I have no dependence upon it. It's not an āśraya for me. And so the destruction even of the whole creation, coming and going of the whole creation, is in no way touches me, because it's not an āśraya for me.
That's so amazing.
It is amazing. It is definitely amazing. You know. So these are three modes of destruction. The next verse is going to go into just one of those. It's a verse that's also very similar to ones chanted in the Gita. Let me get into that. Okay, let's stop there.
Can I ask one quick question?
Yeah.
Just to clarify in my own mind, the prakribhinya, that means the recollection of the self specifically with reference to the changing experience through time.
That's right. Ajiva. Because that you can say, that happened to me.
Okay.
Or I experienced that.
Right.
This one that is here experienced that, and that's no longer here. So I become, the I is the pratibhijñāna, you know? It's the I can recollect. So the self hasn't been destroyed.
Okay.
It's not like the self was destroyed in that experience. Otherwise, you couldn't say that was my experience. So the self remains as what we call an anuvritti. The self continues, right? But all experiences come and go. Even when you say, I just had that thought. I just had that thought. The I remains. I recollect with my mind, of course, but I, the one who's here now, had the thought that has just passed. That's a pratibhijñāna.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it means specifically with reference to changing experience.
Yeah, I don't think with pratibhijñāna, there's not going to be anyone else except the self involved in it. The pratibhijñāna is your recollection of something.
Yeah, okay.
But because you are recollecting, you were there before, the you that was there before is the you that is here now.
Right.
Yeah.
But it's not just, I recognize myself. It's I recognize myself as the same one that was there.
That's right. That's right. That's what we mean by anuvritti. In every experience that you recollect, you were there.
Right.
You know, I had that experience. It means I was there when that experience was. I who am here now.
Right.
Yeah. And so there's a pratibhijñāna of yourself. There's right in reference to the experience.
But does the word pratibhijña or pratibhijñāna?
It means recollection.
Okay, but it implies.
It's your recollection that implies the continuing existence of yourself.
Okay.
Can it sometimes just mean a recollection of something else, or does it always refer to recalling yourself?
I think it always refers to recalling yourself, because that's what makes it a pratibhijñāna. Because it's your recollection.
Of yourself.
It's your recollection of your prior experience. So it's like if you were to tease it out, it would be, I who am here now, I had this experience in the past. This person who is here, me, who is here having this experience now, this same me had this experience, which is no longer there. This me who is here now, at this age, is the me that was a young girl. Right? So there is a pratibhijñāna, the continuing recollection of myself in reference to prior experiences.
Now
that's how I've always understood it, at least within Vedanta. And when we look up in the dictionary, I want to see what the layperson's definition is. It's the same.
Yeah.
Like, look up abhijñāna. The prati is a upasarga, but still means recollection, but they get into a more defined definition of it. Right?
So the word itself does mean, with reference to past experience and so forth, it doesn't just mean recognition of the self.
No, it's the ongoing recognition. Let me read this. I mean, why I'm wavering is because technically that's how we always use it, but I want to make sure. And that's what I just read to you, right? So, recognition.
Right.
Okay.
You didn't have schmutz. Recognition and recollection.
Okay, recognition in terms of prior experience. So just listen to this, okay? So recognition. Abhijñāna, same as pratibhijñāna, abhijñāna is a combination of anubhava, or direct perception. Anubhava means experience. I had the direct perception of something, the immediate experience, as opposed to like a indirect knowledge. Something I was there, I experienced it. Okay. So, is a combination of anubhava, or direct perception, and smriti, recollection. Okay. Now, a sort of direct perception assisted by the memory, as when we say, this is the same man I saw yesterday. Then, saha ayam yaha drishtaha naraha. That says, this is the same man I saw yesterday. Anubhava, or direct perception, leading to the identification expressed by ayam, and the memory leading to the reference to past action expressed by saha. Remembrance, recollection, knowledge, ascertainment. In this example, they're using it like this. This man is that man that I saw yesterday. Our emphasis is on the I that saw this man. Their emphasis on this man is that man.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But our emphasis is that I was there when I saw this man yesterday, and I am the one who is now seeing it today. So they're showing the pratibhijñāna in reference to the ongoing I that is there in every anubhava. So you could say, no matter what the experiences, and the experiences are coming and going, I am the one who is there. The same I that was there yesterday is the I that is there today. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's how we use it.
There are examples like that
Devadatta. Yeah. Soyam Devadatta. That Devadatta is this Devadatta. That man I saw yesterday is this man I see today. Right? So there's the pratibhijñāna. But when we're using it logically, when we use this word as a technical term, the emphasis is not on this man, this experience, that this man is that man, or that man is this man. It's that I am the one who saw that man yesterday. The one who saw that man yesterday is the one who has seen this man today. And that pratibhijñāna never varies. There's never a time in any experience I have. The experience always comes and goes, but I can always say, I had that experience, and now I'm having this experience. Now, so you could say, I, the one who was there yesterday, is the, this person who was there yesterday is the one who is there today.
Now with Ishvara, that identity is with all the beings, right? So he...
It's the same idea, Brahman. Here it's going to Brahman, right? Brahman, yourself, the Atma, which is Brahman, is the constant, and it's not subject to time. So that pratibhijñāna is always there. The one who was there yesterday is the one who is here today. Even though there's nothing really in yesterday's experience that is here in this experience, except for me. In fact, I can even say there's nothing in the last moment that is here in this moment, except for me. Because, first of all, because of the nature of change, right? And there is nothing here in this moment that is exactly the same as it was in the last moment. And in fact, moments are infinitely divisible. So no moment, and you can't even find a moment, but pretending that we find a moment, this moment is different than the last moment. There's only one thing that is the same, and that is me. And that me is Brahman, right? Is beyond time and space. So that sense of self is never the one who was a little girl is the one who is an adult. You know, the one who is a young boy is the one who's a man. So I have that, I can say that about, you know, you can say that about yourself and about any experience that you've had. So that pratibhijñāna is always there in reference to you. If I use an example like this man that I see yesterday, like in the book, this man that I saw yesterday, that man that I saw yesterday is this man who's standing before me today. Right, so I'm recognizing an identity between the two. Of course, that man isn't exactly... If we really want to get into Vedanta... because there's change, right? Because there's change. There's some differences that have happened there. Throughout the whole upadhi of that person. But the idea is, just on a gross level, that man that I saw yesterday is this man that I see today. But if you were to analyze that, the only thing that is really true for is that which has no parts, that which is free from change, that which can't be objectified. So the only thing that you can really have this pratyabhijñāna of is the Atma. And that pratyabhijñāna you never don't have. In reference to waking, dream, deep sleep, in reference to past and present, and projection into the future. In fact, there is no past, present, or future for you. You know, there's bringing a recollection into the present or a projection of the future into the present. But your experience is only the present. And there is no present to be found in the world either. It's just the presence of your being gives the sense of the present. You are the present. In fact, there's no present here because it's already gone. It's already gone. You can't find it. It's infinitely divisible. But you are the present. You're the presence of the present. And so so-called past, present, and future is flowing through your presence. And that presence is what you continually have a pratyabhijñāna of. It's always there as the self of every experience. Yeah. There, we're starting to get it.
Do you remember when I told you that when Jacob was 4 years old, he asked me, where does 1 minute go when the next minute comes? This is like the answer.
Yeah, isn't that amazing?
Before my 10-year-old niece, when we were talking about something that happened before she was born, I said, it must be strange for you to think of something that happened before you were born. And she said, yeah, I feel like I always am.
Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harihi Om.